Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, happy Monday. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross at the controls and Curses at the phones, and hope that you've had a wonderful weekend. And notice that Ted coming into our studios in the Mel Johnson Media Center on the University of Northwestern campus, that they're packing boxes today.
A lot of activity down in our main lobby there. Operation Christmas Child is kicked off. Here we go.
So shoe boxes coming in. So if you're doing that with your family or just doing that on your own, blessings to you. And we're praying even at staff meeting this morning that, you know, those boxes would, the right box get to the right child, and that, you know, there's such an effective way to share Jesus.
So, that's right. Yeah, they get some great stuff, but more important than that is they get introduced to Jesus.
Yeah, so, which is wonderful. Say, speaking of getting introduced to Jesus, we've got a resource that we're giving away thanks to our friends from Truth for Life. Alistair Begg has co-written a Bible study with Sinclair Ferguson called Name Above All Names, and we get an opportunity to explore the depths of Christ's identity and come to know him more intimately. And it's a free ebook, and we got a few more days of that free download, so you can sign up today at myfaithradio.com.
Yeah, we're going to end this on Wednesday, so go ahead and do it now. Great for a small group with the study guide there too, myfaithradio.com.
Look for that when you go online, myfaithradio.com. And speaking of books, we're going to jump into the Old Testament book of Proverbs for the next hour. Really looking forward to the conversation and welcoming back to Faith Radio Liz Curtis Higgs. Now, of course, Liz has been on pretty regularly with Susie Larson, and so we just kind of butted in a little bit.
Stole her away.
Got to the front of the line and said, Liz, come on with us first. Let's talk about her new book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. Liz, her goal is to help women embrace the grace of God with joy and abandon. She's author of more than 30 books, with millions of copies in print, and we are just so honored to have her back with us. Liz, how are you? Welcome.
Well, I'm wonderful, but listen, I haven't finished downloading my book from two of my favorite Bible teachers. Are you kidding? Sinclair Ferguson, Alistair Begg, I'm so in.
Yes,
but I promise, I'll finish it later. I found the page on your website. Okay. I'll finish it later.
Well, we've got lots to talk about today, and we want to talk about the Proverbs, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. And by the way, speaking of books, we do have your publisher has been kind enough to provide us with some, so we've got some copies to give away. So I want to encourage people here right at the outset to give us a call. We'll do a little drawing for those resources. You can call 877-933-2484 and put your name into the drawing for these this wonderful resource called 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path, 877-93-FAITH. And you may want to call and just say hey to Liz as well if you listen to her regularly on with Susie. So thank you for making some time out here at the noon show. And I want to find out a little bit about this study in Proverbs. It's really a daily devotional, small group Bible study wrapped in a beautiful gift book with lots of encouragement. What is it about Proverbs that maybe is so, we so resonate with them? And maybe why did you look at this as another opportunity to do some deeper diving?
Yeah, well, a couple of years back, I asked my blog followers on our monthly Bible study blog online, what is your favorite verse of the Bible? Well, that would be very hard for all of us to pick, but they took a stab at it. Thousands of women did and came back to me, and there were many of our favorites spread all through the Bible. But what was interesting to me is how many of them chose one of the 900 Proverbs we find in the book of Proverbs. And that intrigued me because Proverbs is, well, it's an interesting book. First of all, each verse pretty much stands alone. There are a couple times we like to group two together. But for the most part, they each stand alone. So when you read a chapter from Proverbs, it's kind of whiplash because it's this, then over here this, then we're going to talk about that. And so what the good news about that is you can look at a single verse by itself and glean a great deal of wisdom out of just the one verse because it says so much. It's content rich. Some of them are very inspiring, encouraging, uplifting, upbeat. Those are my favorites. You know me well enough, Neil. I like to keep it positive. But what was interesting to me is the favorite verses that my readers chose, some of them were just downright hard or challenging or convicting, the kind of thing that makes you step back and go, oh boy, she has stepped on my toes now. Of course, I had to step up first. That's how that works. You have to be, as a writer, willing to wade into the deeper waters and let God pierce your own heart with what the challenges are and what makes it hard. And that's what growth in Christ is. It is not always reaching for the verses we love, but sometimes reaching for the ones that speak to our deepest need, our greatest sin, our most difficult challenge, and help us grow.
Yeah, I prefer just, you know, the favorites, if we could just stick there. But no, that's, we do want to grow, and that's really what we're about here on Connecting Faith and really all of Faith Radio. And it's interesting that you narrowed it down to 31 verses. Of course, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, and many people read a chapter a day just as a good Bible study. But did you take one from each chapter? Was that the idea, or did it not actually work out that way?
Well, that would have been extremely sensible, but no, Neil, that's not how I did it. I really let my readers pick their favorites, and so they're not in any particular order, these 31. But we do love having a daily devotional, and so 31 makes that easy for all the months that have 31 days. And I wanted it to be a Bible study, too. So for Bible study groups, you could easily do this as a six-week study, doing five a week, Monday through Friday. Then there's a Bible study guide in the back of the book to give you plenty to talk about when you gather together. You could use it for your own study, too, of course. But I do begin with a positive one, so I don't scare people right off the bat with chapter one. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Always have loved that, Proverbs 4:18. It just, it's just like dawn rising. It's a beautiful sight to watch us grow in righteousness. And of course, that righteousness, and this is probably the most important thing to remember about Proverbs, because it is a whole lot of do this and don't do that. It could almost feel like law, Neil, if you weren't careful. You know, it can be a whole lot of rules. But it's not meant to be. It is meant to show us that when the righteousness of God, not ours but his, is in us, it makes it possible for us to do what is good and right instead of what is bad and wrong. So at the end, the end result isn't our glory, our praise, it's God's. Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. And so to me, Proverbs is not a book about how to be good. It's a book about the goodness of God at work in us, shaping us and molding us to be more like his son. So it's not meant, the end result is not pride. In fact, at least two, if not three, of the verses in 31 Proverbs to light your path, at least two or three are about pride in particular. And when I saw my sisters choosing that one, I thought, okay, Lord, is this a plan? Is this a plot? Are you speaking just to me? Because pride, and I say this in the book, Neil, I don't know if you agree, we can kick it around. I do really think pride is at the heart of every sin. When you break it all down and find out what is making us sin, I really do think it's pride at the heart of all of them, even the seven deadlies, of which pride is one.
And in fact, I think some have said it was the kind of the parent, right? Because they're the offspring of pride is nothing good, is it?
Sadly, no. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's one of the early chapters in the book, and I had a story to share that was about a literal falling because of pride. And, you know, it doesn't have to be quite that literal. The fall could be in many shapes and forms. In my case, of course, it was just a flat-out ungraceful fall, which never would have happened if I hadn't been so prideful. If I hadn't say, I've got this, no, you don't need to help me, I'm good. When we say stuff like that, you know, that's pride speaking. I don't need help is just, that's pride. Because most of us do need some help or would do it more gracefully, faster, or easier with help. But it's pride that says, I've got this, and how God must groan when we say that. Because he stands ready to help us, either himself through strength, through faith or through the hands of another person who's going to help us do something. And so often we push that help away because we're convinced we don't need it. We're enough. And if anything, the word convinces us we are not enough, but God's grace is.
I was thinking how, you know, one of those phrases that we hear that people somehow think is in the Bible is sort of, you know, the idea of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. I mean, that's the sort of the essence of pride, isn't it? That instead of reaching out for help and recognizing that God is willing and able, we think that's what Proverbs is all about. And of course, it's not even in there.
No, it's definitely not even in there or anywhere else in the Bible. God is not impressed with our self-reliance. That is not in Scripture, that we're to do it ourselves and nod to God. You know, thanks, Lord. Wasn't that good? Didn't I do great? That's not what he wants from us. We're so used to that, I think, Neil, growing up with parents or in school, of trying to please them, you know, saying, look, I did it all by myself. Isn't that what the Dr. Seuss books, I read it, I can read it myself. I see that label on the front of all those books.
Yeah.
And so that the whole idea growing up for us is do it yourself, make it happen, be, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, just as you said. Isn't it interesting that our true guidebook for life, the Bible, doesn't say that? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We quit with, I can do all things, but that's not what the word says. It's, I can do all things through Christ. Without him, nothing good happens. With him, all good things can happen. And so it's almost like retraining our brain to get away from the self-reliance and the all the self things that go with that, and instead being God-dependent. Because when we lean on him and he does a good thing through us, ta-da, he gets the glory. And that actually is not only what he deserves, it's what he wants. He wants the glory, and he deserves it because he's God. And so we have to kind of let go of that need to do, to please, and instead just be with God in his presence, depending on him. It's taken me 35 years to sort of figure that out. I don't get another 35, I don't think, Neil. So I don't get to live out now what it's taken me all these years to learn, but I will do what I can in the years that remain to honor God by depending on God rather than trying to earn his pleasure, because that's a gift from him. It's nothing we earn. It's just a gift.
Indeed. Well, it's a gift to spend some time with Liz Curtis Higgs today, best-selling author, some 30-plus books, and a seasoned professional speaker and Bible study teacher. Her new book that we're referencing today is 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. It's some ancient wisdom for our modern life, and we're going to find out more. We'll talk a little bit about wisdom. We'll talk about words fitly spoken, motives of the heart, all those important things. And there's a three-letter word that shows up a lot in Proverbs. We'll let Liz dig into that as well. Just ahead here on Connecting Faith, got some copies of her book to give away. Sign up for it with a phone call at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More with Liz Curtis Higgs just ahead. Stephen Curtis Chapman, the music that comes out of Proverbs. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. We're talking today about Proverbs, particularly 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. It's the latest book from Liz Curtis Higgs, best-selling author and speaker and Bible study teacher. She toured with Women of Faith, Extraordinary Women, and Women of Joy, and speaks at conferences around the country. And we're honored to have her with us today, and we're going to be telling you about a new radio program that Liz will be doing for Faith Radio coming up here later in the show. But Liz, maybe before we talk about this wonderful daily devotional and small group Bible study, say a bit about your approach to studying the Bible. Because in this, these have a lot of different, I noticed the Bible translations, a lot of word studies. Just talk about your heart and passion in that area.
Well, of course, I believe every word in the Word is there for a purpose and a reason and is rich. So I love to look at 40 English translations. I know, over the top, why not? We're told to handle the Word of God carefully, rightly. And so I like to look, and granted, of the 40 different translations, 30 of them might use exactly the same word for the original Greek, or in this case, the original Hebrew. But sometimes there's just a spin, a nuance, a flavor that's added with a different translation. And of course, unless we can read Hebrew or Greek in the original, then we're all dependent on a translation, an English translation, or whatever language you speak. So I don't feel like it's getting away from the Word to look at all the ways that scholars have translated these handful of powerful words so that we can go deeper and richer. For me personally, by the time I've looked at a verse in 40 different translations or whatever number, the verse and the truth of it sinks deep in my heart. Now, can I just tell you the one bad side of that, Neil? It makes it hard for me to memorize.
Yes, I bet.
Because I remember all the, wait a minute, was that New American Standard or NLT or, you know, what was it? And so I can sometimes mix up my translations in my head. But the heart, the truth, the heart of the verse, the truth of the verse is there. And even if you just look at one translation, it's there. But I like to look at all of them. Part of it, can I just be honest? I'm an English major, and so I love language and I love words. I'm the kind of person that I keep a dictionary by my desk, a big one, one of those great big ones, on a roll-around table all the time because I love to look up the word. And, you know, when you look up a word in the dictionary, you don't just get a single word answer. You get multiple descriptions, and then you get synonyms and antonyms. So if a dictionary is trying to teach us the richness of a word, why wouldn't we do exactly the same thing with God's word to understand it fully? Mm. But then at the end of the day, I mean, it sounds very scholarly, y'all. That's not how I write. I write like I speak, so it's pretty accessible. But the end of the day is, how then should we live? Knowing this truth about a particular proverb, what are we supposed to do with it? And, you know, so I do help us all get to a practical point. It's not just filling your head with information, slap the book, done. Okay, check, that's done for the day. I really want to help people go that next step and apply what we've learned.
In fact, we should talk about it because at the end of each chapter, you do have 1 minute, one step, which is just after a prayer, which is just a nice opportunity to say, all right, let's apply. We're all about application here at Faith Radio, so that's I resonated with that.
Yeah, the 1 minute, one step. I'll be honest, I've never done anything quite like that in a book before. And it's because I always feel like I have such a long, as it were, to-do list for every day of my life that to think of asking a reader, here's one more thing you have to do. So I thought, how can I make this meaningful, applicable, and manageable? There's too many bowls in there. So this seemed the way to do it. I literally timed each one of the 1 minute, one step items to make sure you really could do it in 60 seconds. Had to throw a couple out because my editor came back and said, I'm sorry, Liz, this one took me a minute and a half. And so we made it short, we made it sweet, we made it doable. I tell people right in the front of the book what will be required to do those things, which would be, by the way, very little, a Bible, a pen, some notepaper, a couple things, and you're in. I wanted people to be able to do this, whether they're studying at home, at work, in their car, on a park bench, to make it something that is doable and gives you that sense of satisfaction, I think, when you close a chapter and say, hey, I learned something, I did it, ta-da. So you took that extra step. That was the goal with those. And they were fun to come up with, fun to think about how could we actually do what we've just learned.
Well, speaking of doing what we learn, I mean, that's really what wisdom's all about, isn't it? It's not just learning knowledge for the sake of knowledge. And you remind us right early on that it's the Lord gives wisdom. Say a bit more about that.
Right. Well, first of all, you've chosen the right verse to quote because the wisdom does come from God, from His Word. It's not something we drum up. And it isn't at all the same as learning or education. Everybody knows that you can have a college degree, but you come out into the real world and find out you actually don't know very much. There's so much yet to be learned by experience and by time with God and in His Word. I am a woman of years. There's a lot of nice ways to say it. I never use words like getting older, but maturing is a delicious word. And I think one of the things that comes with time, wisdom only comes with time. Now, every once in a while, we'll meet a young person in their 20s or 30s who just really is wise. We'll say they're wise beyond their years. They're, as it were, an old soul. They just have a lot of wisdom. And that can happen, but usually it's going to happen because they hang around with wise people and they read God's wisdom in His book. But over time, as we learn, as we grow, as we spend time in His presence, as we do the things He teaches us to do, as we learn by experience, by worship, each of these things adds up to a wise person. And truly, that is the delight of walking with the Lord for a long time. There are some negatives. We all know that about getting older. The body doesn't, you know, always behave like you want it to. But the mind and the heart, where wisdom rests in both those places, it can ever grow, ever expand. And it is what we have to offer those who are younger. We may not be able to do the technology that a 20-year-old can do, but we remember things they never even experienced, and we can use that. So wisdom is something God loves for us to have, and He alone can give us real wisdom, which involves with discernment and a very careful ear for the Holy Spirit.
Just have a minute or so before the break, and I just thought, well, I should just congratulate each other on the, you know, the gray hairs or crown of splendor, because we're down that road, aren't we, Liz?
We are down that road, and in fact, that's one of my favorite verses that's in 31 Proverbs, is that the one translation says gray hair, but can we go with silver, Neil?
Yes, let's do silver.
Yeah. Silver just is so delicious. It sparkles. It's like money or jewelry. Gray is like a battleship. Do we have to go there?
Okay. Good point. All right.
Do love the years. Uh-huh.
All right. Now, we've got another half hour to spend with Liz Curtis-Siggs as we dive more deeply into 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. It's her new study, Daily Devotional and Small Group Bible Study. It's a wonderful resource. We've got some copies to give away as well, and would be honored to have you just sign up for that. If you appreciate Liz, you've heard her regularly on with Susie Larson, Live the Promise. You can join the conversation, too. Maybe you have a question or a comment, something that Liz has written that's meant a lot to you. She's written more than 30 books, got millions in print, and speaks nationally, internationally, and so we're honored to have her with us today. You can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you have maybe a comment, you want to drop something online, you can do that at myfaithradio.com and go to the Connecting Faith show page and use the email link there. We're going to talk about issues, motives of the heart, and that important three-letter word that is in so many Proverbs. All that coming up. Stay tuned. God's Word gives us so much insight. We can providing us with the wisdom for daily life. It's 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path is the name of Liz Curtis-Higgs' new book, and it's a daily devotional and small group Bible study, and there are 31 Proverbs based on all Liz's blog of friends that have weighed in on their favorites, and she just selected a group out of there, and you can study them one a day, or you could do it in a small group study. It takes 6 weeks. We do have some copies of the book to give away. We're doing that here at the top of the hour. But Liz, it's the season of apples here, and I know that I'm a fan of apples, most any flavor, and certainly if it has something to do with caramel involved in it or cobbler. Let's talk apples like apples of gold and settings of silver.
Yeah, delicious apples. Although I have to say, a true red delicious apple has got to be my least favorite. It doesn't have any flavor. Give me a good old Macintosh and I'm a happy girl. Of course, in Proverbs 25:11, they're not actually talking about apples that you sink your teeth into. In fact, apples of gold, if it were a golden apple, as in solid gold, that would not be something you'd want to bite into. But what this is describing is something beautiful to the eye and delicious to the soul, like apples of gold in settings and silver. So that kind of description, and I think it was just ran right out of my head. Man, I hate when that happens. So she'll just keep going.
Sure.
But in the time of Solomon, who, of course, is credited for writing down many of the Proverbs, not all, but many, this is a description perhaps of a silver bowl that he would have actually had on display with golden apples in it. It was more of something to look at than something to eat. Because apples as we know them are not likely to have grown in the Holy Land. They would have had pomegranates, but not our kind of apples. So they're golden. They're delicious to look at. And they are like a ruling rightly given, or if I could be perfectly honest, my favorite translation, a word fitly spoken. Because this isn't just about giving good rulings. It's about saying the right words. It's about offering to people something as delicious as a fresh fruit. Because saying the right words is easier, no pun intended, said than done.
Yeah.
Because, there are so many times I wish I had said nothing than what I did say. And this is one of those positive proverbs. It doesn't talk about our words being rotten to the core. It doesn't talk about what happens if you don't say right words. It gives us a visual, beautiful golden apples in a setting of silver, something lovely to behold. That's what happens when we say the right word at the right time. And it is a goal for me, a wordy woman like me. I'm either talking, writing, blogging. It's all about words. It really behooves me to try and say words that are beautiful, meaningful, helpful, rather than words that tear down, words that discourage, words that don't help people.
A lot of the, have time to listen to the rest of the show, you can just take that away today and say, I'm going to work on helpful words today. That's going to be my goal. The word fitly spoken is such a, it's a great phrase, a great verse out of Proverbs. There are many Proverbs that have that that three-letter word, the B-U-T, in it. Let's talk about so many of those that it's kind of catches you up.
Yes, indeed. I think of the 31 Proverbs in this book, I think 17 of them have the word but in the middle. And it's how God teaches us. You could do this, but you could do that. Or this will happen if you do the right thing, but this will happen if you do the wrong thing. It's amazing how much wisdom you can squeeze into a sentence when the word but is in the middle. And so we have to weigh what God is saying to us. And sometimes we're looking at those and thinking, all right, which one am I? For example, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So I get to look at that and say, okay, Lizzie, which one are you most like? Are you most like the prideful person who then is disgraced because of their pride? Or are you willing to be humbled, which comes from wisdom and produces wisdom? And I can tell you, after all these years of living, pride is an issue for this girl. It is. In fact, there were so many references to pride in these chapters, I thought, my readers know. they know what I need to deal with. And I just believe that pride is at the center of so much of what we do wrong. And so it is the ultimate thing that I have to deal with is, why am I prideful? Why do I think I can do this myself?
There is a word that's very closely related to pride, it seems, and that's the word envy. And you address that in one of the Proverbs as well.
Oh, yes, another pride verse. do we have to go there, Neil? Sure. Are we going to hang out there all day? Because I just need warning, you know, so I can be prepared. Well, it is truthful that that envy is an issue for me as well, and I hate to confess that. I really do. Proverbs 14:30 is perhaps what you're thinking of. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And it does. And I tell a story in that chapter, as I do in many. I always tell stories on myself. By that I mean, I don't think I ever tell stories where I get it right. Who wants to read a story like that anyway, Neil? Seriously, who does? Who wants to read a story where the person says, I have this all figured out, and here's how you have to do it. I'm not in. Sorry, you've left me behind. But if someone says, okay, here's how I messed up, here's what God taught me, and here's what I've learned, and here's what I'm doing differently. Okay, I'll go down that path with somebody. I think it's how most of us learn, by stumbling, and it's okay. God knows this about us. He knows this. And so envy, definitely an issue for me. Maybe it's because of what I do. I'm a writer and a speaker, and so I can look around me and see other very gifted writers and speakers, and I can either become, I'll just be honest, discouraged. I could never speak that well. I could never write that well. Or envious. How come I can't speak that well? How come I can't write that well? Or worse, I'm better than them. Why are they getting that? I'm better than them. Why are they getting that? Imagine confessing such a thing live on the radio, Neil, but it's a reality. It's something I've dealt with the whole of my career. And God has taught me some ways, always learning the hard way, but learning, thank you, Jesus, that if a friend, a peer, gets some opportunity I thought might have come my way and instead it goes their way, what I need to do is celebrate with them. Find any reason to email them, text them, send flowers, send a card, do something to celebrate with them instead of feeling sorry for myself or envious or jealous. God is right. If we want a heart of peace, we have to let go of the envy. And so I'm here to tell you that works. That's that little proverb, if you live it, it works. But I only know because I didn't live it for so many years.
Well, I just love what it says, that a heart of peace gives life to the body. And you think about all the health concerns in our nation today. And you go, you know, we have a lot of issues that are brought on because we don't have hearts of peace.
So many are stress-related, are anger-related. There are things that we do that are just so physically hard on us, and envy comes under that category, as do many other things, also addressed in Proverbs. That's the beauty of it. There's 900 of them, Neil, so you know, if you press through and you read every one, I think he addresses just about every situation we face today. Yes, the Proverbs are 3,000 years old, but in many ways they are so timeless because they speak to human nature, they speak to our failings and our foibles, and they offer hope. You could do this, but look what happens if you do this. That's how God teaches us and how it sticks.
Well, you know, as long as we're having Liz confession times, I want to talk about a coat in your closet. You tell that story,
oh.
And it's because I think many of us can probably relate in some level or another.
Oh yes, it's a classic Lizzie deal. Bill and I, my wonderful husband of 31 years, we have different ideas about money. Bill's idea about money is the best thing to do with it is to put it in the bank. Lizzie's idea of what's best to do with money is to hang it in the closet so you can wear it. And we quickly found out this about each other after we married. Sadly, those are discussions you don't always have. But when that first box from Macy's showed up, Bill said, I think we need to talk about how money is spent in our house. Even though we both earn it, we also both need to be clear about how it's going to get spent. And so his big question for me, Neil, every time I'm tempted to go shopping online and have a beautiful box of something show up, is he says these terrible words, do you need this? Oh, I just hate do you need this? Because most of our shopping, I hope I'm not the only one, is often, but I want this. So I needed a raincoat, and friends, I really needed. I mean, that's something, you got to have a raincoat. So I went online. I found one I liked a lot, and I went to Bill and said, okay, just to, you know, get your permission, your sign-off on this, I'm going to order this raincoat. And he looked at me and said, well, I thought you had a raincoat. Okay, I'll look in the closet, but I was quite sure I didn't have one. Alas, I did. Except the good news was, it was brand new. I had ordered it in my favorite red. It was exactly the same coat I had picked out. So had I ordered it, I would have been the owner of two. And but here it was already in my closet. I hadn't even cut the tags off because when I tried it on, it didn't fit. And now, I'm happy to report, it does. And so I got a brand new raincoat, and as Bill pointed out to me, Riley, with free shipping. Because it was already in the closet. And so, you know, there just are things we learn that I think can be fun. And there is some humor in the book, because you know me, Neil, I can only go so long and not be funny. And I think we retain stuff better when we laugh a little while we're learning. So I wear that raincoat with pride and joy and no sense of being a bad girl because I didn't have to buy it. I already owned it.
You know, the Proverbs has a lot to say about money. It also talks about being generous. And I think, you know, I'm kind of I'm Norwegian. I blame that for my tendency to withhold. But Proverbs 3:27, before we break, we should talk about that. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Say more about that one.
Right. Well, and when I read to whom it is due, I thought, so what does that mean exactly? Oh, it means everybody who needs. It doesn't just mean someone who deserves it, someone who is willing to stand in line or confess their poverty or fill out a form. Or no, this is if you see someone in need, they are due. They deserve it. And if it's in your power, which I would say is in your pocket, in your bank account, in your purse, if you have some and you can give it away, do it. In a tiny, tiny way, I'm trying to apply that one with tipping. You know, the old rule to me was 15% was plenty. God has been pressing on me lately and saying, see how hard these people are working, the waitresses and waiters, the people who clean your hotel rooms. Anywhere you have the opportunity to give a tip, give more generously, Liz, because you can. Do it. So think in terms of 20%. Oh, go for it, Liz. Just do 25. Well, I can be tight with a dollar, too, and sometimes I'm like, well, what have they done to earn 25%? And God says, that is not the point. It's in your hand. Give it away. And the joy of doing that is the real deal. So I totally get the tight purse strings, Neil, but I also know there's real joy in opening them up and letting it go.
Good words today from Liz Curtis-Higgs, found in her wonderful new devotional. It's a daily devotional. It's a small group Bible study. It's a wonderful gift book. It's just great reading to dig into God's Word more. It's called 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path, and we've got some copies to give away. Love to have you sign up for that. We've got three copies to give away. We'll do that here in about 15 minutes, so give us a call at 877-933-2484. Put your name in the drawing for that. 877-93-FAITH. We'll talk more with the best-selling author, Liz Curtis-Higgs. She's written some 30 books and speaks around the country, conferences, and we love having her on with us here on Faith Radio, and we're going to talk more Proverbs. In fact, we're going to talk about plans and more just ahead. Taken from Proverbs. Maybe you know it. Hopefully you've memorized it and you hang on to it day by day. That's a wonderful Proverbs, some 900 total. Liz Curtis-Higgs has pulled out 31 Proverbs to light your path. And that's the name of the Lord is a strong tower, is one of those that she's dug into a little bit more. And you can read about it in her new book, 31 Proverbs to light your path. We're trying to get through as many as we can. And one of them, Liz, you talk about, actually a couple of them, talk about our plans. And I used to say, if you want to hear God laugh, show him your plans. So let's talk about, God's making our, establishing our plans.
Right. Well, Proverbs 16:3, a real favorite. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Now, I don't know how your listeners feel about plans, but I love to plan. I love to write stuff down. I love to have calendars for today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I'm embarrassed to tell you that we just opened our 2020 calendar to look at speaking engagements. That is crazy, but it's what we do here at the Higgs House. And having plans is terrific, but notice how it says he will establish your plans. That's the big challenge. We have an opportunity to figure out what we're going to do, but the old Lizzie would figure out what I was going to do and just kind of wave my plans in the Lord's direction and say, hey, Lord, how's this look to you? So glad you like it. Here I go. What he is trying desperately to teach me is to hold up that empty calendar to him and say, Lord, you write in my calendar the plans you have for me. Show me what it is you want me to be doing. And Lord, you may write with a pencil with an eraser. Father, if you find something better for me, something you'd rather have me do, Lord, whatever those plans are, they're your plans for me, not my plans to serve you.
Well, in fact,
it's just a mental shift, but I'm trying to get there because I want to honor, we all do, want to honor God with what we do. So it seems wise to seek his counsel, his leading, rather than, as I said, just filling it up and then saying, hope this works for you, Lord. Of course, he is sovereign, so he can surprise us, which brings me to Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart. He's nailed me right there. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So I can have all my plans in my heart, but ultimately it's God's purpose that prevails. So when I look back at yesterday's calendar, even if I didn't do the stuff I had planned, and I will be confessing to you, I did not. There were a couple things on yesterday's calendar, just didn't happen. What did happen was what God intended for me to do, and don't laugh, it was take a nap. And I know you're thinking, oh, Liz, there's nothing spiritual about a nap. Well, there really is when you're tired. And sometimes we have to just trust that less is more to God, that we don't have to do everything we think we need to do. We need to say, Lord, what's the very best way for me to spend the next hour? Because he'll have an answer, and it will be the right one. A third proverb, really, Neil, that speaks loudest to me is Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. That's tied into the plans also. And when I first read that, I thought, well, I don't boast about tomorrow. Sure I do. If I say, here's what I've got planned tomorrow, I'm acting as if I know all those things are going to happen exactly as Lizzie planned them. But we don't know what God has for us. And it might be a surprise. Sometimes it might be a wonderful surprise. Other times it might be a hard surprise. Back, I finished writing 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path in May and sent the book off to my publisher, the final draft. And then in June, I was diagnosed with cancer. That was not in my plans. It was not on my calendar. It was nothing I would have chosen. I would never have boasted about, oh, I hope that happens tomorrow. But the good news for me was this scripture that we looked at that said, his plans prevail. His purpose prevails. That's what has gotten me through all the months since, is knowing that God has a purpose in everything, that he may change my calendar entirely. My calendar suddenly became a whole bunch of trips to the hospital, trips to the doctor, do this, can't do that, sorry, this is out, this is in. And yet, through it all, I saw God's purpose prevailing which made it kind of wonderful. It let me let go of that calendar finally and say, Lord, clearly you've got a plan. I can't wait to see what it is. And so, oddly as this may sound, Neil, it's been a joyful journey so far, even with the chemo, even with the radiation, even with all the stuff that comes with that. The journey has been joyful because I see God's hand so clearly at work.
Have you come to maybe have a new favorite a proverb or one that you keep coming back to, maybe even as a result of your diagnosis here earlier this year?
Well, yes, I would say it's that one about his purpose prevails. It also has so many P's. I just love
hard not to love.
And a part, yes, it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So, you know, it makes it easy to memorize and easy to hang on to. And that purposefulness of God. This is not a verse that I might have memorized before I wrote the book, but it is the one that I walk away with as perhaps the most meaningful to me in this season. Isn't God's word wonderful? We see a verse online, we hear it on the radio, we read it in the Bible, a friend speaks it to our heart, and we'll kind of look amazed and say, that's exactly the word I needed today. And I find that to be so true as a writer and just as a woman, that when I'm in the Word, God always has the perfect word for me right now. And for this season of my life, it's that one.
Well,
Proverbs 19:21.
Speaking of the right word, the right time, we're excited about the opportunity to have you do some deeper dive teaching for us here on Faith Radio, starting after the first of the year. A new weekend, a half-hour broadcast. Say just a bit about your plans for that, even, or believe that God is in the design, but more about the show.
Oh, yes. Well, he is definitely in the design. When you and your team there at Faith Radio Network came to me and said, Liz, how about a show? I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Because, of course, I did radio for 10 years, Neil, long ago, sometime last century. And so it's always been my heart's desire to teach the Word of God on the radio. And now, thanks to you, it's going to happen. And word by word with Liz Curtis Higgs, because that's how I teach. I teach God's Word, and I teach it word by word. So it will be, I promise, fun, but hopefully really meaningful, because I love to dig. I love to get in there, open that word, look at all the translations, and bring the richness that's already there. Okay, you do not need Liz to bring the Word of God alive. It is already alive. All my goal is to slow us down and, you know, not do whole chapters at a time, but to do a verse or two or three on a Saturday or Sunday and see what God has for us. It will be an adventure and a journey. I will be learning right along with my listeners. It's going to be exciting. So I pray that people will tune in and check it out come January the 6th, our first one.
We're really looking forward to that. Word by word, Liz Curtis Higgs helping us to understand God's Word better. And as you say, it's alive, it's active, it will encourage and challenge you. And so we're just looking forward to hearing more about that. We'll be telling you more about it, of course, when we get a little closer. But it's not that far away here, coming up just right after the first of the year. So, Liz, blessings to you as you continue to develop that. And as you speak and write, we're just so thankful to connect with you once again.
A joy for me as well, Neil. Look forward to seeing you again on the air. Can you see people on the air? Sort of,
yeah. So, Liz, by the way, if people want to connect with you or want to maybe just get part of your blog, read what you're writing, what's the best way to connect?
Come find me at my website, LizCurtisHiggs.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Liz Curtis Higgs, Pinterest. I'm hanging out online, and it's really me chatting with readers and followers and friends, so please come and let's connect there.
Love it. Liz Curtis Higgs joining us today, talking about her new book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path, and you can find out more about her writing anytime at LizCurtisHiggs.com. If you missed part of today's show, you'll want to listen to it again. And maybe pass it on to a friend, someone that could use an encouraging word, like a word fitly spoken. Go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, and you'll find the interviews posted there. And join us again tomorrow for another installment of Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.